Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord and welcome to Amazing Grace Extraordinary Truth Ministries. This is your host, Elder Lydia Togba. I am so happy to have you with me today. Amen. We want to begin with prayer at this time, and then we'll get into our topic of discussion for today. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come humbly before you even right now, oh God. I'm asking, Lord, as we go forward, Lord, that you open the minds and the hearts of every hearer. Even right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, let your Spirit go forth and move, oh God, in their minds, in their hearts, in their souls, Lord God, that they might be able to receive of your word. Lord, as scripture is given, Lord, I'm asking that you illuminate their hearts, that they be able to see the light, oh God, that is being shown on today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask a blessing, Lord, for each and every one of them, even right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, no matter what is going on in their lives, Lord, move, oh God, every obstacle, destroy every yoke of the enemy. Right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, make ways out of no way for them, Lord God. Heal, Lord God, their bodies even right now. Lord God, cause your spirit, Lord, to move in every cell of their bodies right now in the name of Jesus and bring forth a miraculous healing in them even right now, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Oh, Lord God, we give you honor. Oh, God, we give you praise and we glorify your name even right now going forward. Oh, my God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you, Lord God. Now, our subject today is, I know, a curious one, cussing Christians. And, yes, I put a question mark and an exclamation point. Amen. I'm just going to read, amen, from the subject topic. We label things that we find to be abhorrent or despicable with words that can be defined as profane. Profanity has become so commonplace in society that many can't have a conversation without its use. But should this be a practice among those who are to be a light in the midst of darkness? The short answer is no. And the long answer is no, no, no. There are standards in every area of life, and Christians are to be ambassadors for Christ. That ambassadors that show forth the light of salvation, literally a beacon for those who are seeking the way. And that way is Jesus. He is the way, the truth, and the life. It's time to reevaluate where we stand and do our first works over if it is that we see profanity as a means to attract the lost. Jesus, help. I can't believe there are actually cussing Christians. Talk about an oxymoron. And it is truly just that. And you will see it even better as we go through the scriptures. And we're talking about this morning the use of profanity among the people of God. Amen. God's standard is that of holiness. He told us to be ye holy as I am holy. And I will actually go over that scripture with you and give you exactly where it's located. And it is in 1 Peter. But we will go over that shortly. But I want to ask some questions just to have you think about them for just a minute. And you probably will hear my paper rustling a little bit because I do have a few notes that I'm taking a look at. So my questions that I want to pose is, in looking at the use of profanity among the people of God, is it holy? Is it harmful? Is it innocent? Is it offensive? Is it the language of love? Okay, first let's start with the question, is it holy? It's not. Never once when Jesus was on earth, and he is our example of bringing forth the gospel. He was the one who taught the disciples. Those are the ones who actually brought forth the word of God and the teachings of Jesus Christ in scripture. Those are the ones that we are following after their teachings that the Lord had given to them when they were in the earth. And never once did Jesus use profanity in his message. Never once. Not once. Is it harmful? Absolutely. Because when we to the Lord. We are putting aside those dead works, those things that we used to do, and cursing is part of that. Some of us used to curse like sailors. Some of us, amen, used to, like I was giving in the explanation, we used to use curse words as, so freely, and part of the conversation as if it was like drinking water. It was just a normal part of the conversation without even considering whether or not it was offensive to anyone. And that's another thing to consider. And the next question is it innocent? It cannot be considered innocent if it's offensive to anyone. I guess that answers both of them. It's not innocent if it's offensive, because Scripture even talks about us offending our brother. If there's anything that might offend, we should not be doing it. And Scripture also lets us know to abstain from, to stay away from those things that even have the appearance of evil. And actually, profanity would fall under all those things. It is not holy. It's absolutely harmful. It's not innocent, and it's absolutely even people out in the world. I mean, and those that have not professed being Christians just yet, they hear it and they're offended that Christians would actually be cussing as part of their normal conversation and even as part of a teaching. How are you going to teach a sinner that, or someone that has not professed righteousness yet, someone who does not know Jesus as their Savior yet? How are we as Christians going to be examples to them if we're using the very words that they ought not use, and those words actually do bring a curse? I believe it's in Proverbs that it talks about the use of cursing that actually brings a curse upon you, that curses you to the bone. I mean, these are things we don't want them to do. Our words ought to be words of life and words of love, words that will promote them, words that will prosper. I mean, those are the words of Jesus Christ. His words brought forth life, and that more abundantly, not just his words, but his works brought forth life, and that more abundantly. Glory to God. Amen. I looked actually at some other things. Amen. We are called to be servants that servants, amen, that affirm, amen, human life, the dignity of every human and the sacredness of existence. And profanity actually is despicable, and it defames it. It is base language. Amen. It actually is harmful to human beings. When people are being cursed out, that is not a good thing. I mean, they're not saying something wonderful to you. They are not lifting you up. They are not building you up when they're doing that. They're actually tearing you down. And unfortunately, they're also tearing themselves down and not being aware of it. So should a Christian curse? That is truly an oxymoron. Never should profanity come out of the mouth of those that are following Christ. And it is one thing if you slip. And even if you slip, you need to consider where you are in your relationship with the Lord. And we'll talk about that scripture as well. I have more for you to take a look at and to consider. Amen. All language is a type of social contract. So let me give an example on your job. So when we are on our jobs, we are very careful about professionalism. There is a code of conduct in every area of life. There's a code of conduct in your family. There's a code of conduct in business. There's a code of conduct in holiness. There's a code of conduct in every arena of life. And it is a social contract of sorts, the way that we talk. In each group of people, there's a language that is spoken, some words that ought to be spoken and some that should not. And each area is aware of those words that ought not be spoken. And profanity is the one that is across the board against the rules, basically, because it does tear down and not build up. Amen. And we are all about bringing forth the love of Christ. Glory to God. So we label things that we find despicable with words that we identify as profane. Usually, and it usually means an act of contempt. Profanity is contemptuous. It is an act of contempt, and it is toxic. It is a toxic type of language. And I want to give you some references. I got some of this information from ChristianityToday.com and the Carolyn Arends. It's A-R-E-N-D, and I may be A-N-D. A-R-E-N-D-S, and I may be mispronouncing it, but I want to give her credit, amen, for this information, some of this information that I'm giving you, because I got it from her article as I was studying this. So what profanity does, and this is from the Sister in Christianity Today.com that says this, first of all, it is a form of, it is an act of contempt, amen, and it is toxic. And contempt is a mixture of anger and disgust expressed from a position of superiority. It denigrates, devalues, and dismisses the person's humanity. And that is what happens when we use profanity. I am absolutely offended that the people of God would even consider using it, even in trying to teach someone else to come to Christ. The word lets us know that Jesus will draw them himself. We don't need to use words that the world uses to draw anyone. The Spirit of God draws them. All we have to do is bring the gospel forward. We have to tell them the good news, make it open and make them aware that this is available. These are the words of life. Amen. He came that every man might have life, and that more abundantly. He died for each and every one of us. He came down through 40 and two generations, formed himself a body, and he went to the cross having no sin at all, not having cursed or profaned or at any time. He had no sin, and those are the words that we need to bring forward. And he came that we might have life, not just in eternity, but right now. He came to work things out for us now. And I'm telling you, as one that is a follower of Christ, he is my everything. I am striving to love the Lord with all of my heart, my mind, my soul, my strength, because every aspect of my life, I can see the move of God. And I'm telling you, there is no way that I would be without him. And I would not dishonor him by using profanity with anyone, because it is so base, and it absolutely is contemptuous, and it does devalue human life. We don't want to devalue the life that God has given us. He is our creator. He made us, and he loves us so much that he wrapped himself in flesh. Amen. So that we would be no longer alienated from his presence, but so that we would be able to come before him and call on him, and so that we don't have to see the second death, which is hell and punishment. I mean, there's just no reason. Power of the tongue, amen. It brings life or it brings death. It's either going to build up or it's going to tear down. James 3, verse 6 through 9 says, the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird and of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. And that's what profanity is. When we speak words of profanity, when we curse somebody out, when we use cursing as if it's part of our casual language, it is full of deadly poison. It is toxic. It is denigrating and devaluing human lives, and lives are value. Every life has value. I don't care what you've done. I don't care where you've been. I don't care who you say you are and who others have said you are. Your life has value to God, and there is no one that should be cursing at you, especially those that are calling on the name of the Lord and those that are walking after holiness. And remember, I told you there was a scripture that says, be ye holy as I am holy. And I am talking to the saints of God today. I'm talking to Christians. Amen. Those that actually will wear a T-shirt that says, I love Jesus, but I cuss a little. Stop it. Scripture says in 1 Peter 1, 15 through 17. But as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. All of your conduct. That means your whole life ought to be exemplary to the best of your ability. And keep in mind that the Spirit of God is on the inside of those that follow Christ, so you have him to enable you to be holy. And verse 16 says, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Now let me tell you something. The Lord does not give us mandates, restrictions, rules, or anything else that we are not able to do. So don't use the excuse that I'm not perfect. That is just an excuse to sin. And there is nobody who knows Jesus as their personal Savior that should be saying that at any time. It's an excuse. And it does not excuse you. That won't excuse us when we stand before the Lord. Well, Lord, I wasn't perfect. That's why I cuss all the time. Lord, have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Jesus, have mercy. That ought not be. That is one of those things that should never be named among those that are followers of Christ Jesus. I want to give you a few more scriptures. God is not pleased with that kind of language coming forth from his people. 2 Timothy 2:16 says, but shun profane and idle babblings to more ungodliness. So all you have done when you're doing that is step back into sin. You have backslidden. We can use the ways of the world to bring the world to God. He pulled us out of bondage, so that we would know what being free and having liberty is. You are setting aside your liberty when you use that language. He said, shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. Amen. Another scripture in Colossians 3:17, and I actually posted this one on my Facebook. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. Amen. He's talking about good deeds, not poor deeds. And remember, we're presenting all of this unto the Lord. We don't want to present evil to the Lord and expect him to receive it as good. It is not good. His word is telling us just that. Psalm 35:28, it says, my tongue shall speak of your righteousness and of your praise all day long. These are the things that we ought to present to the Lord. Praise. Amen. My tongue ought to be speaking of your righteousness and your praise all the day long. Amen. That's the example we want to present to those who have not made the decision to know the Lord just yet. Amen. And in Philippians 4:8, it actually tells us what things to meditate on. And I'm going to give you another scripture about the abundance of your heart in just a minute. But, amen, we ought to be thinking about, it says, finally, brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if they're praiseworthy, meditate on those things. Amen. Those things that we meditate are going to be meditate upon are going to be those things that come forward out of our mouth. Listen, Luke 6:45. Lets us know out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? Now, this is the point wherein we ought to be checking ourselves. If profanity is coming out of your mouth, where is your heart? Where is your heart? If profanity is coming out of your mouth, out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord Jesus, to God. Now, I'm not going to leave you, amen, just with these teachings. I just wanted to bring this forth. And yes, this has been a bit of a strong conversation, amen, that I'm having with you this morning. But it is so that your soul will be saved. Correction is an act of love. Amen. And I will be bringing that forward in a small teaching on another day. But correction is an act of love. It gives you the opportunity to turn, and it brings forth the peaceable fruits of righteousness. So take this opportunity today to consider the words that I have spoken and to consider your relationship with the Lord. If you have found yourself using profanity as if it's part of casual language, using profanity that actually devalues your own humanity and devalues the life around you that God created and the lives that he sacrificed his own life for, you must reconsider your position. Amen. And this is a day of salvation, and I am calling you to repentance. According to the word of God, anytime we have fallen short, we ought to be repenting before God. Amen. I'm going to tell you about myself. I go before God every day in prayer, and I present myself to him and ask him to shine a light on me and show me those things, even that are hidden from me, those things that I don't see in my subconscious. Lord, is there anything there that I do not see and I do not recognize? Is there a root of some kind that is there that I don't know about? Now, no, I don't use profanity. I do not curse. I praise God that he has delivered me from that kind of language. But there are other things that still has to come forward. Scripture tells us to mortify our flesh daily, kill it off. Those are fleshly deeds. So we all have to mortify, kill off our flesh daily, because we want to present ourselves before the Lord holy, like he said. He said to be holy as he is holy. Amen. And it takes his spirit to put us in that position. That means we must present ourselves every day before him so that he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness and refresh us in his spirit so that we can walk upright before him. He's not leaving us alone to do it by ourselves. That's a fleshly work. This is a spiritual relationship. We are in relationship with God Almighty. And like in any relationship, when your spouse or you're in or your boyfriend, girlfriend, whoever you may be in relationship with, if they show you something that they don't like, you stop doing it. You discontinue that behavior. Well, that's what I'm showing you today. We are in relationship with the Lord, and we want to please him with all of our hearts. And that does mean that sometimes we will have to be corrected. Now, Scripture does tell us that correction is grievous for both the giver and the receiver. And, yes, this is difficult because, you know what, I know that I have things that I have to come up in myself, and I am daily working forward to those things, and I appreciate everybody who corrects me, who shows me things that I did not see myself or didn't understand the way that I should have. I am appreciative of correction, and I hope you are too. The Lord loves you with an everlasting love, and there's nothing that can separate you from him. Amen. He will love you still, even if you decide to be disobedient. The Lord still loves you. Amen. But I want to give you the opportunity, amen, to get this right, to go before the Lord on today and just begin to talk to him. Lord, you know, maybe you don't know how to stop. Tell him that. I mean, I have had habits and things in my life that I have had to go before the Lord. I'm like, Lord, I know I have this thing and it's not right and I don't like it. I don't like it when I see it in myself. I don't know how it looks to other people, but I don't like what I see myself. So I come before the Lord and I ask him, Lord, I need you to take this from me. I need you to teach me a different way. I need to do this your way and not mine. Because when I am doing things God's way, I am so blessed. And my life, I'm telling you, has been blessed since I have known Jesus. You talk about knowing abundance. I have received blessing after blessing, and even healings in my body, in my mind, in my children, miracles after miracles. And I mean real life, honest to goodness, acts of God, medical acts of God, so much so that my doctor even had to call it an act of God. Even with my son, on an occasion, we went into the emergency room, and they had to call it an act of God because the Lord has moved in that way. And I'm telling you all this so that you will consider your own life and know that being in the family of God and being a follower of Christ means everything. Amen. You have to try Jesus. I'm telling you, he is true to his word. He is faithful, and he will continue to be. He just wants you to make yourself available. Come before him and have a conversation, and then wait for him to speak back to you. This is a reciprocal relationship. Glory to God. And like any other relationship, there are boundaries. In every relationship, there are boundaries. I don't know why people feel like there shouldn't be boundaries in a relationship with God. There's boundaries in every relationship. It's not reasonable to think that way. There's always boundaries in relationships. And that's what this is. This is not religion, people. This is relationship. Amen. We are communing with God Almighty. We're communing with our Creator, and it is an honor and a privilege, amen, to be called to participate in the holiness of God Almighty. It is an honor and a privilege to be called, amen, to bring others, help others to come to know them as know him as their Lord and their Savior. Amen. If you're listening today and you don't know Jesus, the Jesus that I've been talking about, and maybe you've been guilty of the very things that I've been talking about today, amen, there is always hope. And the Lord loves you, like I said, with an everlasting love. Amen. He did die for your sins. He died that you might have abundance and an abundant life. Amen. It may have, he died that you might have abundance, not just in eternity, but now too. Amen. He wants to fix those things in your life, those crooked places in your life. He wants to make them straight. Those things that you don't understand, he has the answer, and he wants to give them to you. Amen. I'm telling you, this is a decision that you will never regret making. He will show himself to be God. I mean, truly God Almighty in your life, if you will allow him to. I mean, scripture says, to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost that is written in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Amen. To repent means to turn away from your sin. It means to ask God for forgiveness for all the things that you did, amen, that were sinful, that were not right. And to turn away from those things and to receive him as your Lord and your Savior, as your guide. He will guide you directly through this life into eternity. He will help you to know what you were born for and what your destiny is. He will let you see, amen, the gifts and the talents, the abilities that he has placed in you that you did not even know were there. Repent and be baptized. Yes, there is a time you will need to go down in water and be baptized for the remission of your sins. And we can actually talk about that at another time. Email me at elderljt@gmail.com, and I'd be more than happy to answer your questions and give you more information about salvation. But in the meantime, repent. Amen. Just begin to talk to the Lord. Amen. And be open to his presence. He will come. Amen. Just believe it. God will fix everything for you. He will heal your mind, your soul, and your body. He loves you, and he came so that he can turn everything around for you. That no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. He is actually talking to those that are his followers. So if you have things that are coming against you, it behooves you, amen, to be a follower of Jesus Christ so that you will be under that inheritance where no weapon that is formed against you can prosper. Amen. He wants to fix those things for you. Glory to God. Amen. He's waiting for you. He stands at the door and he knocks today, waiting for you to open up your heart and to let him in. Amen. It's not too late until you close your eyes
Amen. Today is the day of salvation. Make the decision to turn to Jesus on today and receive him. Amen. And he will receive you into the family of God. If you did make that decision on today, please also email me that and let me know. God bless you. God keep you and God anoint you. Until next time.